accurate decision. What you're hearing from this morning is there are more than just fishermen, guide and outfitters. There are business owners in Ennis that will be impacted by that. As a business owner, I want to say that my wife and I are in support of the Montana Outfitter and Guide Association to step back and let's collect a little bit more data on this process and let's make the right decision to ensure that the economic impact is not severe to the community of Ennis. Thank you, Commission.
Good morning. My name is Chris Eaton. I'm a guide from Ennis, Montana. I appreciate the opportunity to make a comment, though I'm not really making a comment. I'm just going to ask the question. And my question is banning boat access legal under the Montana Stream Access Law? Thank you.
Further public comment? Do we have people out in the hall that want to come in and comment? All right. Well, seeing none, we'll turn it back to the commission. I apologize. We do have some folks from the regions. Thank you, Eileen. Region 3, I think you're the only place that has anyone. Please come forward.
Thank you. There are no commenters in Region 3.
Okay. Well, then we solved that. I don't see anything else in the regions. If that's not the case, please correct me. Okay, and so now in front of us, gentlemen, we have, of course, the three petitions that have been submitted. Becky went over what our authority and our charge here is. So with that, I turn it to my fellow commissioners to ask questions of the petitioners, ask questions of the department, or to make a comment and recommendation here at the commission table. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. Do we have to make a motion to comment on any one of those?
No. I think we can comment and then we'll at some point we're going to need to take action on each petition probably individually, Becky.
Chairman, you know, I'd like to ask the department a question, I guess, relative to public access and the wadeability and the walkability, I guess, of those I hear a lot of information on both sides of that, or a lot of suggested, and for me, I've been a walker most of my life, and I've been walked in some pretty tough places, but are these prohibitive, or is one of the gentlemen that it's not safe to do that? Help me there.
Chair Cole and Commissioner Aldridge, with your permission, I'll direct that to Region 3. I'm not sure if we have anyone else other than Travis, but I'm sure Travis. The question was the weightability of some of the sections, so hopefully Travis can help us.
Chairman Colton, members of the commission, you know, I'm not the best person to speak to this. This may be a surprise to people, but I don't fish that much. In fact, I've never set foot on the water in that reach, so there's probably other people that can better answer that. What I can say, I guess, is that about 70% of the length of that stretch of river has access to it, either through easements, public access points, or Forest Service land and roads. There's about half a mile reach downstream of $3 Bridge before you reach a state section where you could, again, get back up on the bank legally. And then I believe the downstream end of that section is about a mile and a half from the Big Bend down where you would have to remain in the ordinary high water mark legally to wade through it. I don't know specifically the substrates or the slickness of it, but presumably with a very stable flow regime, you should be able to walk below the ordinary high water mark without having too many slippery sorts of rocks to be stepping on.
Mr. Chairman, as you know through our conversations, I've spent a ton of time talking to people, and I think I probably talked to a third of the people today, or received emails or had phone calls. And what I see taking shape is out of all the earlier vitriol and the uncertainty and the fear, we're seeing the shapes of a proposal. I think petitioner deserves to be applauded for the courage it took to put a good idea out there. Unfortunately, I don't feel like either of the three petitions as written quite gets us to where we need to be today. So I'm real reluctant to delay this. I don't think we can wait too long. I guess I'll ask a question of Dr. Rice before I just jump to conclusions, but I don't think there's any way legally that we can rush this along right now. So Dr. Rice, would you explain how, if we presume, which we probably shouldn't, that the petitions will not be voted in, what is the process that we would have to go through from here? Take all this good thinking and the that work and getting him into something that the
Chair Colin, Commissioner Byerworth, commissioners, I'm going to try to understand where you're going with that question. So I'm assuming what you're asking is if the commission decided to deny the petitions today, what the department could do next to help you formulate a draft rule for consideration. Is that correct? With that in mind, as you're aware, the department and the commission has received a lot of comment through email, written comment, as well as all the comment that we've received today. The department, if you decide to deny the petitions, we could certainly wade through all those comments and help try to collate that in some way to give you a summary of what those comments were. Several of the commenters today have also mentioned that others were unable to be here to comment. A tool that we've used in the past to garner input at a, you know, prior to a rulemaking stage is scoping. We use that with our fishing regulations. We used it on the Missouri River Reservoir Plan that you're all familiar with. We could gather a suite of alternatives that we're aware of in addition to asking for other alternatives. We could put that out for scoping for a period of time that you can help us designate. Then we would run that similar to how we have other public comment periods. We can go through all of that, try to coalesce it and summarize it for you, and then help you draft some sort of potential rule that you could consider at another meeting. In terms of timing, I would recommend that the earliest meeting to consider a rule would be February, and that would be the next time you meet after the December meeting. If you're interested in doing scoping, we could talk more about what that would look like.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like a question because I'm not exactly clear on how it works. The outfittings from Idaho, is there, there's not a limit on that? Those guys being able to come in, yet Montana outfitters cannot go to Idaho? Is that correct?
Chair Colton, Commissioner Brower, I'm going to have to defer that question I don't know if Mr. or Dr. Bias would probably be able to answer that.
I could take a shot at that, Chairman Colton, members of the commission. In the past, and I'd have to double check with Cheryl on this, we've had 5 non-resident SRP holders out of the 230-some. I think the big thing that people assume when they see Idaho license plates is that they're Idaho outfitters, but I think they're commonly Idaho guides coming over and working for Montana Outfitters, given that there are only a couple non-resident outfitters completely, one of which was in Florida. So I don't know how many are even from Idaho, maybe 2.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Would you maybe ask Mr. Way, the chair of the Board of Outfitters, if he's got some input on that, that we might help us out?
Chair Colton, commissioners, the Board of Outfitters regulates outfitting in the state. As long as you exceed the qualifications, we will give you an outfitter's license. The qualifications for a fishing outfitter's license is 3 years use on the river and 120 days of use, as well as pass the test and have the required insurance. It does not limit you to being a resident of Montana. I think what a lot of the comments for non-resident outfitters is like the Region 3 representative said, is that they're guides from other areas, whether it be Idaho, working for Montana resident outfitters, or an outfitter that lives over in, for example, just over the border in Idaho that outfits both the Madison and the Idaho waters. It is true that Montana cannot go to Idaho and outfit because of allocative systems on all of those waters. It's those systems are all permitted, and the only way to outfit there is to buy an existing outfitter with a permit.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Well, part of me is tempted to try to move a petition through and admit it and amend it and start the process, because we've been at this a while. But given petitions that we have, the information in those petitions, the information and discussion regarding the so-called fourth option, and just the time that we've put in, I think we're developing an idea of those elements that need to be discussed in a broader context. I think we have a good sampling of ideas and opinions from the comment that was here today and what we've received by email, but I think there's a little more to do there. I think we're at a point where we can articulate certain items that we would like to have scoped. You know, we're hearing about, you know, rest rotation. We're hearing citizens' days. We're hearing caps and what they're going to be tied to. And I know that Commissioner Byarth in particular has been very engaged with the public on this and the primary and leaders of some of the primary groups. And so I think he has a really good handle on that, which the rest of the commission needs more information on. And some sense of where the public is at on this. So it would be my, despite the fact that I sometimes like to shoot first, aim later, I don't know that it makes sense to try to pass any organization's petition, you know, and with thinking that we're going to amend that and move forward in that way. I also don't think there's any sense at this point in trying to put together another working group or anything like that. I think we understand, based on the comment and the engagement that flows from these petitions, what we need to be looking at and what we need to figure out. This recreation plan is going to be difficult. Obviously, there's strong differences of opinions. We saw that with the NRC. I mean, Tim saw it firsthand at the NRC. It's going to be a difficult process, but I think it's okay to pump the brakes a little bit rather than try to put something out from this table here today. And I think we could have a scoping document of some nature evaluated by the commission to say, yes, these are the things that we heard and that we'd like to send out for broader engagement. And then from there, as we do in fishing regulations, we do it with our hunting regulations too. You know, we send stuff out for scoping. Start that process. And then we can kind of figure out timing of comment. It's going to complicate our schedule a little bit, given what we have to do in February of this year, finalizing biennial season setting. So be thinking of those things. But I'm just telegraphing to y'all where I'm headed.
Commissioner Colton, this is Rich. Commissioner Stuker, can you hear me?
Yes, Rich, go ahead. Colton? Yes, can you hear me, Rich?
Yeah, I can. I just thought if you'd heard me. I'm going to agree with you. I think there's been some very good discussion this morning in testimony, and we've received a lot of emails and phone calls over the last year in regards to this. I guess my only concern is everything we've heard today, or pretty much everything, deals with less than 20% of the usage on the Madison. And that's what we're looking for in a recreational plan or what we're hearing. And I have to commend the businesses and the outfitters on their willingness to come forward now with a plan. I wish they would have before, but they are now. But my concern is I'm not hearing anything about the other 80% usage. And that other 80%, as I understand it, is growing. The city of Bozeman, for its size, I'm told, is the fastest growing city in the United States. So the pressure is only going to continue to grow from that non-commercial use. And are we setting ourselves up, if we only approve or put something forward on the non-commercial usage, because the other is going to continue to put pressure on what is happening on the river, the resources, the overcrowdedness. And as was stated earlier, we need to get this right. We do need to get it done, I think, as soon as possible. And with all of the different committees and CACs that we've tried in the past, I'm going to say, and I think this is what I've heard from you, is it's going to come down to the five commissioners after we do the scoping and hearing the rest to put a plan out and come up with something, because the other groups have not. And I don't think I can support the three petitions today for those reasons. But I do hope as we move forward and do the scoping, if that's the way we end up going, and looking at a plan, that we address just more than the commercial use, or we're going to be back in the, or some commissioners, maybe not us five, but somebody's going to be back having to address that other 80% use in the very near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Stuker. I'll tell you that Eileen is nodding her head, and she's coming forward now to address that.
Chair Cole and Commissioner Stuker, we could easily add a question or an alternative to a scoping document that would address non-commercial use, and we can garner input on that option in addition to all the other options and alternatives we've heard from the petitioners and others. I know the negotiated rulemaking committee did discuss that during their meetings, so we can also go back to those documents and pull out what we heard during that for that non-commercial use.
Thank you, Eileen. And follow-up question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Commissioner Stuker.
I think it was Max McNard in his fourth option or whatever you called it, was called for a moratorium or cap on any additional SRP permits. And I know there were some questions earlier in the discussion on when they're issued and when people can get them. And I don't know what the procedure would be. I know legal talked a little bit earlier in the meeting, at the start of the meeting. If we have the authority to put a moratorium on any new ones moving forward until we come up with a plan, because there has been discussion that people are going in, don't know if it's true or not, and trying to get additional days, additional permits now, ahead of what we might cap unless we go back to previous dates.
Chair Cole and Commissioner Stuker, as you've heard, we are currently receiving applications right now for SRPs. In terms of putting a moratorium on that right now, I'm going to direct that to Becky Doctor for her legal opinion.
Chair Colton, Commissioner Stuker, this is not an issue that I have looked into yet, and I do know that we have some authority to, if we can grant them, we can not grant them, but I want to make sure before I answer here today with certainty that we can do so and that there's not some conditions that we'd have to meet before we deny those. So if I could take a little bit of time to look into that, I would get back to you with an answer.
Thank you.
Further comments from the...
Mr. Chairman, I know that I think there's been... I guess I've been hearing a little bit of conflicting opinions today in that it seems there's groups that don't want to continue to kick the can down the road, but at the same time, I hear people saying we need time to get this right. So I know that the idea of scoping may give people somewhat of a fright that it's essentially kicking that can more. But with that scoping process, can the commission ask anything to be scoped to be looked at? I guess is my question. It might be for Becky.
Chair Colton, Commissioner Brower, the commission can put a time frame on that directive to the department and come back, and I think that's what I heard Chair Colton suggesting anyway, that there be a time frame. So yes, that is something that you can do,
and we can ask for any of the topics that were discussed to be on it.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I go ahead.
Sorry, Commissioner Colton, Commissioner Brower, I was just going to add that if that's the direction you want to go in, we could probably have a scoping document ready to release by early next week and get that turned around as quickly as you want.
And that would be our opportunity to, you know, as Commissioner Brower said, if we want to add something on that we'd like further scoping about. You know, we've gone through a fair measure of process and have highlighted some key points, and so it's nice to have some direction. We don't want it to be too broad to where everything gets lost, but we certainly want to be inclusive, and that's the challenge. But given how much we've all been involved in this for the last couple of weeks, I think that what we approve to go out will be fine, and scoping isn't a rule. Those aren't proposed rules. Those are the ideas that have come forward, and it prompts discussion, but it is not binding in any way on what we develop in the end. So I think that'd be a formula that would work.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to offer a perspective that's kind of long in nature, and that is that, you know, this whole idea of managing recreation on the Madison River has been looked at by a whole lot of people over a whole lot of time, some formal activities, some informal activities. There's a lot of data out there. Maybe there's not all the data we would like to have, but there's a lot of data. I think that today, coupled with the petitions themselves that we looked at today and have looked at for several days ourselves, they bring a lot of things to the table that need to be wrestled with by the larger public in the end. But I think we need to have a kind of a palatability test, and that is we need to realize there's some things that just aren't going to that will fly. So I think that, you know, there needs to be some sense of realism, you know, in terms of what we put together and what we ask people to comment, you know, if we go through a rulemaking, another rulemaking process, taking advantage of what we've learned along the way since the first CAC and the and negotiated rulemaking committee, the petitions, and God knows all the other public input we've received, and put something together that to the extent we can do it, is designed to result in a plan and a decision. So I think we need to move forward, and I think we've got the information we need. I think we've got the will right now to do it and the ways to do it, too. So I'm with you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, with that in mind, then, does it require a commission motion and vote to initiate a scoping process, or is that that necessary?
Chair Cole, Commissioner Byworth, you could just direct us to do that. It doesn't require a motion.
I do think maybe we should address the have an action item in front of us that we have to decide upon. The petitions have been presented, and we've taken comment. And I think, in fairness, we should take them one at a time, and have a yes/no vote on each. So the motion would either be a motion to accept or a motion to deny the petition of the particular organization. That action item is required of us now. Not like this very second, but in the calendar, it's required of us.
Mr. Chairman, are we ready? I'll make a motion. Is everybody good? Mr. Chairman, I move the commission deny rulemaking on the petition submitted by the Madison River Foundation.
Mr. Chairman, I would second that.
A motion and a second. I think there's been, is there any last bit of discussion from the commission? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Now need a motion on the other remaining petitions. Again, I should clarify that, you know, as I've mentioned earlier, we can approve them to go out for rulemaking, deny them, or deny and adjust.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out. Mr. Chairman, I move the commission deny rulemaking on the petition submitted by, the Montana Sportsmen's Alliance. Is that correct?
Chairman, I
would second it.
Alliance on our cover sheet. On our agenda item.
I just want to make sure I get that one correct.
Chairman Colton, Commissioner Brower, there is a particular group in Montana called the Montana Sportsmen's Alliance that is not involved here. And so I think we were trying to steer away from calling it that. And so we've been calling it the sportsman's group that include TU, the Anaconda guy. I forget what their name is, but it's on. I mean, it should be on the agenda.
I could read all of them if you want.
I think we know which one you're referring to, but for the record, it could be the sportsmen's groups.
Mr. Chairman, I move the commission deny rulemaking on the petition submitted by the Montana Sportsmen's Group.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
One remaining rulemaking petition.
Mr. Chairman, this.
Thanks, sir.
I think you cut out, Rich. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I will deny the foam petition.
I will second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any further motions from the commission? Eileen, you said something by early next week out to the public. Can you get us something, you know, for us to look at here by the end of this week? Well, this is all fresh in our heads.
Chair Cole and commissioners, yeah, absolutely. We have a running list going of alternatives. We'll add the couple of extra things we heard today that are currently not on there, and we'll distribute that to you maybe even by the end of today so as you have it. And then we, Don and I, Mr. Scar and I, will work with Greg Lemon from ComEd and figure out the best way to get it distributed quickly and broadly to make sure we get good coverage with public input. It might be helpful if you had an idea on how long you would like us to have that scoping period open for. We would probably suggest 30 days, but I wanted to make sure we had that figured out.
I think 30 days makes sense. I worry a little bit about just the timing of the holidays and stuff. But that puts us in early, puts us around mid-December. We might consider a 35-day comment period or something, given that we got Thanksgiving and that right in the middle there. So, I mean, again, this isn't a tentative. It's not a proposal. It's just we need enough time that there's engagement. We've had plenty here today. I suspect that's going to continue. And that's kind of the nature of the beast right now. It's an acute phase of the process for us to send something out and then get information back from the public. Anything else from the commission? With that, we'll stand in recess for lunch. We've addressed all the petitions. Those decisions have been made. I would encourage all of you to engage again. What took place here today was helpful for us. And I think it helps to provide some tangible items to go out, and so these petitions have been helpful, and safe travels to everyone on your way back home.